Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Okay, I'd like to talk about the Speaker of the House first, okay?
Okay, and yesterday I guess that didn't post, so we can talk about the same issues, right?
That's fine, yeah. Okay. Meantime for a daily editorial, thank you for putting up with, I don't want to call it inefficiency, but I want to call it computer malfunctions. They are very, very difficult to deal with, for me anyway. Welcome to the Corlin Political Report. Featuring Jim McKinney, we're going to talk first about the event that I think is really, really, I don't want to call it history making, but I would call it a major event that occurred Sunday, kind of culminated on Sunday and went through the weekend. Speaker of the House went ahead and pushed through the spending bill. Jimmy, what are your comments about that? I'm kind of proud of the guy.
No, I'm not proud of him at all, actually. Okay. He pushed through not a full spending bill, but a 45-day extension for a continuing resolution because October 1st is the end of the fiscal year. Today he could have they could have been gaining something from this, but he really, based on all the information that you can find out there, he really gained nothing other than just extending the current fiasco we have with spending.
Total fiasco. What I was really kind of proud of him for doing is that he claims that he did the right thing for the American people. To me, that sounded pretty patriotic.
Yeah, it's a lie. Okay. Of course, everybody says they're doing the right thing. Joe Biden says he's doing the right thing for the country. Just because McCarthy said it doesn't mean it's true. What he's saying is, hey, I needed to keep the funding going because I don't want to offend my political donors. I don't want to offend the people inside Washington. I don't want to offend the Washington Post or the New York Times. And I'm a coward, so I'm unwilling to stand up and say we have to stop some of these crazy spending efforts that we're doing right now that undermine the future of the nation. It is because he understands how the system works there, but the problem is he has created animosity within the Republican Party because he made promises to reach the speakership back when, after the 2022 election in January when he was elected. And he's not following through with those commitments. And he's, it's just politics, right? Well, what it means is, Matt Gaetz is actually taking him to the shed and saying, look, you made these promises. If you can't keep them, then you're not the best speaker for the Republican Party. So they are now voting as we speak, as we actually record this. I think it's the second vote to oust him. His first vote, he lost in the vote to stay on his speakership. He lost it 208 to 218 218, 11 Republicans voting against the motion to table it. And that was basically the motion to table the vote against him failed. Whether or not he can get the support from enough, and this is the problem, if you have a hand, there's only a 5-seat difference right now in the House, Republicans and Democrats. If he just has 5 or 6 Republicans that say, hey, I don't want him in, he has to get 5 or 6 Democrats that'll vote him, keep him in power. If he gets 5 or 6 Democrats to keep him in power, it's going to be absolutely ugly for him because, in fact, the only way he would survive is with Democratic support, which would show the true colors in Washington right now. So from my perspective, this is a total fiasco. A lot of it is actually just kabuki theater. It's just all theater and all show to divert attention away from serious issues that we're facing in the nation. The unfortunate reality is, though, the Republican senior leadership, the RNC, is beholden to big funding people. They're beholden to D.C. They're beholden beholden to the media. They're afraid of them. They're not willing to stand up and stop some of these crazy spending issues that have just crushed America.
What do you think about the spending that is associated with Ukraine, Jim?
Well, I think that was one of the big issues. And they did actually manage to stop the spending for this interim deal. So that was an interesting dilemma for the Ukrainians. It probably gives hope to Putin that if he can hold out, there is pressure right now. And I had said earlier, as long as Eastern or Western Europe and other European nations support Ukraine, but most importantly, as long as U.S. funding continues, that this war would go on indefinitely. Yeah. Without it, it will end fairly rapidly, I would think. I'm not really confident of that either, because I think the Ukrainians certainly have put up a tremendous defense. And so it may not be helpful for the Russians in the long run. But at the same time, what it's showing is we're fed up with spending money to protect Ukraine's borders when our border is being invaded by 7 million illegal immigrants. It's showing the frustration at the budget deficit that's reaching $2 trillion this year. And it's showing frustration at a $33 trillion debt, as well as a frustration with these crazy spending things that are government spending that's causing inflation. People are fed up with it. And thank God people are starting to hold somebody accountable in Washington. Kevin McCarthy thought things would go on as normal. And when he stands up and saying, I'm doing what's best for the American people, what he's saying is like, I'm cowing down to these pressures to continue this crazy spending.
Jimmy, I have to tell you, you're much more politically astute than I am. So I have to say, I really appreciate your input on this one. Let's get to the big event so far of this week. Tell us in your opinion, not in your opinion, but tell us factually what's going on with Trump right now. Trump is in court. That's a fact.
So it's a civil case brought by Letitia James, trying to undermine the credibility of the Trump industry, the Trump brand. Yeah. And of course, they've had some success. They've had some major failures. The judge, who is kind of a leftist crazy guy, said, I really don't know him, so I can't say that for sure. But he basically has stepped in and said, hey, 80% of these issues are actually above statute of limitations. So that's a big blow to Letitia James. Right. I just read that the Manhattan judge is issuing a gag order on Trump on social media because of some of the comments he's made, making any future comments about his staff, because Trump is calling his staff. There's a woman that is actually on the staff of the judge that apparently has a very close relationship with Chuck Schumer. And of course, that would indicate, like what we see often in Washington, D.C. in these power moves is some subtle relationships with different people. So there's a lot going on. Trump, ultimately, this is not going to – it may cause problems with the Trump brand and the Trump business operations in New York, but it's not going to push him out of the campaign. And my guess is he's going to continue to – people are going to continue to see that he's being attacked on all sides by Democratic activists, by Lawfare, and they're going to continue to grow to support him just because they're tired of it. And that's what's happening. He's actually gaining ground in the polls. That's really upsetting the polls. In Virginia, in the 2020 election, apparently he was down 10 points. Now he's even with Joe Biden. That is shocking to Democrats. The Gallup poll is showing that – I mean they're embarrassed by how much Republicans are thought of more favorably than Democrats right now on significant issues. So across the board, you're seeing basically a collapse of the media narrative that the Democratic institutions have driven for a while, and these Lawfare actions are not helping. It's actually making it worse.
To find out more about today's guest,
usually means as they're under pressure, they're going to be afraid to go to jail if they leave, so they're going to go even farther and do more to shut up and silence opposition and to silence anybody from Trump from actually running in the campaign, as well as other conservatives. So we are in for a very, very difficult next, year, to say the least.
Now, when you say the next year, you're talking about 2023, right?
Well, I'm talking all the way through 2024 in the November election, because it doesn't matter how the election turns out. The left will freak out if Trump wins, and the right will be convinced that there's no way Joe Biden could have won again. And that's probably a realistic argument. So we could be facing a very problematic time based on the circumstances right now.
I define what you mean by problematic situation, Jim.
Well, like I say, if the Biden administration somehow manages to manipulate the vote again, as they did in 2020, or the Democratic Party, and then the Biden administration continues to use law enforcement and whatever executive powers they have to intimidate and silence opposition, to censor, to reach out in these issues, that is going to create pushback as more and more people are aware of the pressures that the administration is putting on its opposition. And people are not happy with the border. They're not happy with inflation. They're not happy with crime. They're not happy with foreign policy. They're not happy with Joe Biden's ability to manage. And it's a total fraudulent effort. But the desperation for them to control this means, in my unfortunate reality, a significant probability for violence if this down the road, no matter what, on either side. I mean, I'm sorry to say it, because I really hate to see this, but that's where it looks like things are headed.
It seems to me, from the reading that I've done recently, you talk about the major press. It seems to me that ABC, which I would consider to be kind of a major player, seems to be on Trump's side right now.
Now, I'm not going to say that. I would strongly advise against saying that any one of the major networks is on Trump's side. I will say that some of the networks are realizing that they're going to have to be a little bit more cautious because of the potential for Trump's victory. And as the polling numbers look more favorable towards Trump, those executives and those big corporations that actually control the media narrative are going to get very nervous at the potential blowback if, in fact, you have a new Trump administration. So they're going to be a little more in my view, they're going to be a little more neutral, a little less defensive for the Democratic Party. But I'll tell you, it's going to be few and far between, because look, they're again, those people are desperate as well. And so they're all going to be concerned about the potential impact. And that's why I think the very powerful are going to collude in order to do more damage to America, in order to undermine the Trump administration and conservative views and voices.
So you're not very, it sounds to me, Jim, that you are pretty pessimistic about the conservatives' chances in the 2024 election. Is that?
Well, I think the numbers were fairly clear that there should have been a massive difference in elections in 2022, yeah, with conservatives should have taken a much larger number of seats in the House and probably the Senate. You know, when it's someone like Fetterman gets elected in Pennsylvania, when he can't even speak, yeah, and is, you know, mentally incompetent, that shows you how much corruption there is in the system. Now, again, they have to have enough support to actually execute that. That support comes from both money and from activists. If the activists, exactly like what happened in 2020, the BLM, the Antifa type rioters get out there. Like I say, if Trump is victorious in 2024, you're going to see a lot of violence on that end. And of course, if he's not, you're going to see, you think January 6th is bad, you're going to see a lot more stronger statements from people that are seriously afraid of the direction of our nation and the move towards socialism and the lack of competence in the leadership right now. So it's a very difficult position for the media to be in, because as they try to defend Joe Biden and the administration and many of the networks, and of course CNN and MSNBC, and of course Washington Post and New York Times, are bending over backwards to try to make justifications for them, it's getting very embarrassing. And you can tell that with the White House press briefings on a daily basis. You're seeing them attempting to cover up and actually do interviews in order to, profile people in a very positive light that are absolutely incompetent. And that's, it's not gaining more support. It's actually losing. They're losing support. They're losing listeners. So ABC's losing, CNN, MSNBC. It's interesting to note that Citizen Free Press has now reached over 300 million views.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
And that's huge because they don't advertise, right? And they also are not allowed on social media. So when you're talking about Drudge, Drudge gets spread around via social media. Now, this, you know, you're seeing a rise of independent media sources. You're seeing people question the narrative, on COVID. Oh, let's do the fifth, you know, the fourth booster, the fifth shot. But it's not going to stop you from getting COVID. And it's not safe. It's not effective. So the lies that continue to come out there just undermine the credibility of the news agencies that push it, but most importantly, the administration that pushes those agendas.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize that Citizen Free Press was banned from social media. How did they do that?
Well, they just don't so Google, a lot of the different it's not necessarily banned totally, but they don't get moved. You know, they're not, he's not highlighted by Twitter feed or X feed. He does not highlight a Facebook won't publish him at all. You can't send around a CFP list of articles on Facebook.
Yeah.
Google won't support it. You can find him if you look at it, if you look up directly Citizen Free Press, but it's actually hard to find him if you're just doing a Google search because, again, the censorship efforts by these major corporations and these big conglomerate tech companies that are trying to shape a narrative. But again, it's not working. People are stepping up and saying, you know what, I'm going to look at Breitbart. I'm going to look at CFP. I'm going to look at some of these other these other posts that are just like, you know, a lot different than what you would see on the mainstream media arguments. And again, the beginning, people are realizing that they're being lied to.
I'm looking at the headlines right now, Jim, and Kevin McCarthy has been ousted as the speaker. That's on CNBC breaking news.
Yeah, well, deservedly so. So, well, I don't know. I haven't seen that. I'm going to look at it right now. And I think, again, it comes right down to it. He failed when it came to standing up for the principles that he said that he, you know, was elected to do, which is why people are fed up with both parties. They're fed up with Washington. And so I have not seen, I'm not sure that he was ousted yet. I don't see that. Breaking news. Oh, yep, he is. Okay, I see it now. Yep, ousted as speaker. So first time ever.
Right.
So, you know, good luck, Kevin, because he got in a fight with Matt Gaetz and he shouldn't have. He should have been standing up for those principles that he promised that he worked for. And, of course, he and Mitch McConnell, they are undermining the basic principles of conservatism because they are bowing to the pressures of big money. And now the problem becomes who's going to fill that seat as speaker. The Republicans have to rally around someone. So Democrats are laughing because they were able to push this out and puts McCarthy out. Let's see if Steve Scalise or maybe Jim Jordan steps into the row. Unfortunate timing, Al, because of the impeachment hearings right now. Those are critical for the future of the Republican Party to get that information out. And right now, everybody's focused on this and Trump's trial. And unfortunately, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, which is just incredibly stupid. But that's what we're seeing.
Well, what I would like to know is in the midterm, and that would be the next 6 to 12 months, that would actually be the short term in economic terms. But where does this put the Republicans, in your opinion, Jim?
You know, it's hard to say because, again, we don't have any more a Republican and Democrat party from the past. The Republicans now are
are split. The Democrats are split. The Democrats are split between progressives and the silent ones, and the Republicans are split between the you know, between the ones that are more aggressively conservative and pushing for, you know, actually giving control of the nation back to the people.
Right.
The and that's, you know, the old school people are not working. So it's really hard to say where this is going to turn to. It's going to be an ugly fight for speakership. There's no question about it. The interesting part about it is that it is that, you know, the McCarthy played his hand and was playing talking tough, thought he had the power, but he really hasn't had the courage in the beginning to do the right thing. So as far as I'm concerned, good riddance for him. I argued that he should have been out a long time ago. I certainly argue that Mitch McConnell should have been out a long time ago. Now, let's see what happens on the Senate side. And let's see what happens with this appointment that Gavin Newsom made of this this woman that doesn't even live in California anymore. Because that has a huge impact on the vote right now in the Senate.
Talk about that. What has he appointed this woman to do?
To take over Dianne Feinstein's seat.
Oh, and she's not. She doesn't even live.
She lives in Maryland.
I'm sorry.
She lives in Maryland.
Oh, really?
Yes, and that's, you know, totally illegal, but they're going to try to manipulate this whatever way they possibly can to get her in. But she's a super activist, been involved very much in the Democratic Party a long time, Kamala Harris's campaign in 2020. Yeah. She's also a senior member in a nonprofit, very pro-abortion and a strong activist, but has lived in Silver Springs, Maryland for a long time. So they're trying to somehow manipulate and maneuver this, and let's see if Gavin Newsom can pull it out. But may have to change some California law to do it. But it's going to put some big pressure on the Democrats because they look like they're manipulating everything in order to achieve power.
Yeah.
And what you're seeing right now is pushback in the House on Republicans that are tired of watching that corruption happen.
Well, it certainly is happening. I was under the impression, you know, that Gavin Newsom was going to be prepping for the job of president, not this thing that you're talking about.
Well, no, he had to appoint after Dianne Feinstein died. He had to appoint somebody. So this woman, actually, LaPonza Butler is her name. She runs Emily's List, which is a very leftist activist, kind of pro everything progressive site. And apparently she did get sworn in to fill the seat. And it's hard to judge if, in fact, they can. I mean, he moved really quick to do it. She's gay, LGBTQ person, you know, super active on that, very involved in politics.
Right.
But it was critical to get that vote up. And that's going to actually put Newsom in an awkward spot when it comes to the election, because there is a good chance that he would be the lead if, in fact, Biden backs out or is forced to back out or actually has some mental capacity between now and then, or is actually – you know, just gives it up and says, I need to retire for the better of the country. Okay. Very unlikely that he's going to do that, that he'll just give it up. But he may be forced out in some different ways. So this is all a very interesting dynamic. And it's hard. It's a sad, sad situation when the first person that Gavin Newsom throws into the into the arena is a super active supporter of Kamala Harris and unlikely to benefit overall people in California when she's looking out for them in the Washington, D.C. circles, which is exactly the frustration, why people are just fed up with it. I'm telling you, it's looking like the Capitol in the Hunger Games, and people are getting fed up, and I'm sorry to say that, you know, it's just – you know, almost deservedly so because of the level of corruption.
The only comment I can make is, what a bitch.
Yeah, it's terrible. But hey, Al, I've got to run.
Okay.
And let's see if we can get this one posted today.
We'll get it
and
posted right
get back
now.
Tomorrow.
We'll get it posted right now. Let's get the comments in. Thanks very much, Jimmy.
Yeah, especially with this latest breaking news of McCarthy getting ousted. That's important, and see if we get it up.
I'll call you, Jimmy. I will call you when I get it posted.
All right.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.